Love Sickness, written by Idiopathic Smile, and read by KLB.
Girl with a Bubble Gun.
Ethel.
Winged Words.
Elena Shalott.
Rena Jenkins.
And Black Glass.
The first time Enjolras came to him complaining of a mystery ailment, Julie did what any self-respecting med student would do.
Brain cancer,
said Julie.
Definitely sounds like brain cancer to me.
Enjolras sighed.
I haven't even told you my symptoms yet.
One second,
said Julie. He pulled a notebook from his back pocket and a pen from behind his ear. Enjolras gave him an impressed look for being so prepared, and Julie didn't explain that he mostly used it to make observations on the pigeons that flocked in front of his lab building.
What's ailing you, friend?
So Enjolras relayed his symptoms, but it was all things like
shortness of breath
and
sweaty palms.
Nothing definitive, just the kind of nervous tics you might find in any tightly wound young law student. Enjolras being the most tightly wound law student in all of Paris, it didn't take a detective to figure out what was going on. When the list ended, Jolie gave his most thoughtful nod. He'd practiced, and Bossuet insisted it had gravitas.
Well,
said Jolie, nodding again,
it sounds to me like you have a touch of what we in the business call a malaise idiopathique. Plenty of water, lots of rest.
Enjolras would benefit from those things anyway, Jolie figured.
Perhaps some light calisthenics.
This because the image of Enjolras grumpily doing, like, jumping jacks made something sparkle within Jolie's very soul.
And it should clear up in a day or two.
Enjolras's eyes narrowed.
You do realize that Greek root words are not a secret language, right?
Lots of people know them,
said Jolie agreeably. Nobody hated the snobbery in the upper echelons of medical school more than him.
Hardcore fans of the Odyssey. Drama enthusiasts. Most people living in Greece. Probably a lot of ghosts.
Idio and pathos, Jolie. One's own illness. It's essentially a fancy word for made up.
No,
said Jolie.
It means impossible to diagnose.
You're a doctor,
said Enjolras.
I'm a med student, dude. All I've eaten in 48 hours is ramen and some chewable kids' vitamins.
Why?
I've got this theory that your body absorbs more nutrients when you can taste what you're... Look,
said Jolie.
That's not the point. If you really want to figure this out, you're going to give me more than difficulty sleeping. We're going to have to trace this sucker all the way back to the source.
He cracked his knuckles.
We're going to have to do some science.
That's more like it,
said Enjolras. Jolie flipped to a new page in his notebook.
When is it the worst? Morning, afternoon, evening?
Enjolras insisted there was no pattern, but this was a common layperson's mistake. There was always a pattern. You just needed to know how to find it.
Okay,
said Jolie. He closed his notebook and uttered the sentence he would come to profoundly regret in the coming weeks.
Text me whenever you experience symptoms.
Jolie,
said Grantaire slowly.
Why is there a human skeleton lying on my bed?
Okay, it wasn't as bad as it sounded. Grantaire's bed was also Jolie's couch. Still, shit.
I have a perfectly reasonable explanation,
said Jolie.
Which is...
Damn,
muttered Jolie.
Really hope you weren't going to follow up on that.
You know what? I'm fine not knowing,
said Grantaire.
There's something to be said for plausible deniability.
Jolie's heart warmed a little. Grantaire was a much better roommate than people gave him credit for.
I only ask one thing.
Sure,
said Jolie.
I get to name it.
Embarrassingly, Jolie hadn't even started to think about names yet.
Be my guest.
Grantaire scrutinized the carefully wired together conglomeration of bones for a long time.
Evangeline,
he said at last. Jolie shook his head.
It's a male skeleton. See the narrowness of the hips?
Oh, come on,
said Grantaire.
Is this really a time to be policing gender identity? Poor Evangeline is dead. Let's remember her for who she might have been, not who society assumed she was.
I'll ask Musichetta about getting her a scarf or something,
Jolie offered. His phone buzzed.
Speak of the devil,
said Grantaire. Jolie shook his head.
Enjolras.
Bossuet drifted in from the kitchen, eating a piece of cheese.
Ooh, mystery illness again?
Here,
said Grantaire.
I can save you a lot of trouble. It's a condition we call acute Grantaire sensitivity. Every time I open my mouth, he has to either leave the room or vomit. End of fucking story.
Bossuet frowned.
Grantaire,
he said, in what had come to be a very recognizable tone in the Jolie, Bossuet, and sometimes Musichetta household.
No, man, fuck the jar. That was justified,
said Grantaire. But there was an edge of a smile to his mouth.
Come on, Jolie.
The jar,
said Jolie.
That's not fair. Your votes don't count as two when you're basically the same person.
Grantaire protested.
The jar.
Jolie and Bossuet chanted in something close to unison. It had been one of Musichetta's conditions for Grantaire moving in. Every time he spoke with unwarranted pessimism, he had to put a euro in the jar. Whenever the jar filled up, they all went out to breakfast. Other than referring to it as the sad bastard jar, Grantaire had actually taken to it pretty well. Sometimes, when he was bored or hungry, Grantaire would throw on an extra,
"The world is a pile of shit,"
or two, to get things going. Jolie's phone buzzed again. Enjolras had sent him 38 texts in the past 2 days, half of them during Courfeyrac's party. Jolie had missed what promised to be a hilarious Bahavel story, just trying to keep track of all the new symptoms. Erratic heart rate, a constriction in the chest, dry mouth. Jolie dutifully unlocked the screen.
I forgot to add elevated temperature,
it said.
Maybe a slight fever? Concentrated around the face area, if that means anything. Mostly at the party, but a little since.
You should just start a spreadsheet,
said Bossuet, peeking over his shoulder.
A spreadsheet,
said Jolie dreamily.
God, I love a good spreadsheet.
Grantaire looked up from where he was rearranging Evangeline into a jauntier sitting position.
Hey, tell Musichetta not to bother with a scarf. I just remembered I have a feather boa somewhere.
Why?
Said Bossuet.
Plausible deniability,
said Grantaire, which, fair enough. Jolie's phone buzzed again. He sighed. It was a pretty typical Sunday night. Jolie, Musichetta, and Bossuet were lying in bed, watching infomercials. This wouldn't have been Jolie's first choice, but Bossuet found it soothing to watch photogenic strangers failing to perform simple tasks.
Hey, Air! Get in here!
Yelled Musichetta.
We have a question for you.
Is it a weird sex thing?
Grantaire called from the living room.
What does weird even mean in the context of sex, though?
Said Jolie.
I mean, given the amount of variation in...
It's not a weird sex thing,
Bossuet called back. A series of shuffling footsteps, and then Grantaire poked his head in the door.
What led you to my area of expertise? Do you have an art question, or...
Why can't white people cook eggs?
Said Musichetta. Julie giggled into Bossuet's shoulder. Said Grantaire.
The last 3 infomercials we've watched have been for egg cooking devices,
said Bossuet.
Pour eggs into a tube. Poach eggs in the microwave. Maybe it's just a cultural difference, because I've always just cooked my eggs on the stove.
But to hear them tell it,
Musichetta waved an arm towards the TV.
It is literally the most difficult thing in the world.
She shook her head sadly.
Those poor white people. I don't understand.
You're asking me?
Said Grantaire. Eyes a little wide. Jolie had always suspected that Grantaire was a little afraid of Musichetta. To some extent, they shared the common language of sarcasm, but it was more a pidgin than a mother tongue. She possessed a famously low tolerance for bullshit, and Grantaire often described himself as
40% bullshit on a good day,
while dutifully feeding a euro into the negativity jar. Musichetta shrugged.
You're the only white person we know.
That can't be true,
said Grantaire. Jolie squinted past the TV, thinking hard.
Eponine,
he said at last.
Oh,
said Bossuet.
By all means, let's wake up Eponine in the middle of the night for this conversation.
But I shouldn't be the representative,
Grantaire protested.
For one thing, that's profoundly unfair to white people.
At that, Musicata raised an eyebrow.
Point,
said Clanterre.
But I can't just go around giving away our secrets.
Musicata raised her other eyebrow.
Okay, promise you won't tell anyone?
Clanterre stretched his arms behind his back for a moment.
I think, in the back of our minds, white people still kind of assume we're going to find some small country to conquer and make them cook our eggs.
I knew it,
said Musicetta. Grantaire smiled. It was good to see him bouncing back since Courfeyrac's party, during which he'd alternated between fighting with Enjolras and sulking whenever Enjolras fled mid-fight to send Joly more symptoms.
Anyone want to add anything to the shopping list before I go out?
Is the shopping list that piece of paper in the kitchen that just says wine on it 3 times?
Said Bossuet. Grantaire nodded.
Can you pick me up a thermometer?
Said Joly.
I need to take Enjolras' temperature.
Sure,
said Grantaire.
Not asking. Not even asking. Look at me, over here, just not asking.
Can you not ask a little more quietly?
Said Bossuet, eyes lighting up as he leaned toward the screen.
A man in an infomercial is climbing a ladder. I need to see how this is going to play out.
Oh, get more eggs,
said Musicetta.
Wait,
said Joly.
Musicetta, your theory is all goofed up. Grantaire's omelets.
Grantaire made incredible omelets. Other than the tattoo stuff, it was by far his most practical skill.
Heir, you're a credit to your race,
Musicetta mumbled without looking up from the screen. Grantaire beamed. Things were a little less fun the next day, when Enjolras stopped by the apartment unannounced, and so Joly came back from running errands to find Grantaire glaring and wearing only a towel, dripping water on the floor, and Enjolras wide-eyed and basically nonverbal.
Thank fucking God you're here,
said Grantaire, stalking out of the room.
I'm going out for a smoke.
Are you putting pants on first?
Joly called after him.
Not a priority,
came Grantaire's voice from the direction of the fire escape.
Well, hopefully nobody below our fire escape happens to look up,
Joly muttered. He glanced over at Enjolras, apologetic.
He gets cranky when his shower is interrupted. Sorry I wasn't around to let you in.
Enjolras didn't look back at him. His gaze was still fixed on the door Grantaire had disappeared behind.
I didn't know he had tattoos,
said Enjolras at last.
How?
Said Joly.
He has them on his forearms, too. Also, he is a tattoo artist, I mean. It's not a huge stretch.
Enjolras swallowed.
I didn't know he had tattoos on his back.
Yeah,
said Joly, shrugging.
I mean, he lives with me, and before about noon, he's allergic to shirts.
Why?
Said Enjolras weakly.
I always figured he had a bad shirt experience,
Joly offered.
Shirts killed his family, or his first dog got hit by a truck full of shirts.
Enjolras shook his head. His face was a little flushed.
Ooh, are you experiencing symptoms?
Said Joly, brightening.
What's your pulse doing? Are you breathing normally? How do your glands feel?
My glands are fine,
said Enjolras, although clearly something was off, since his voice was slightly higher than normal.
Would it have killed you to at least mention the tattoos?
Joly hunted around for the thermometer.
Sorry I don't keep you updated on the state of Air's naked body, dude.
He snickered.
Said
Enjolras. Joly froze. Something was beginning to click into place. He grabbed for his notebook, flipping through the pages. Most of Enjolras' recorded symptoms, and all of the most dramatic ones, had occurred at Courfeyrac's party. From this pool of data, the main commonality was Grantaire's presence. Fully half of them had happened while Grantaire was eating ice cream. Sooner or later, someone was going to need to tell Grantaire how pornographic his ice cream-eating face was. Jolie's mind raced with the thrill of impending epiphany. Acute Grantaire sensitivity. Maybe it hadn't been so far off after all. He ripped a blank page from his notebook, scribbled out,
"Heir, I may owe you a euro,"
and stood up to tape it to Grantaire's door. Then he realized Grantaire didn't have a door. He stuck it to the fridge instead.
What?
Said Enjolras. It was bad science to make your results public before they were ready.
I could be onto something,
said Joly.
You'll keep me informed,
said Enjolras, face serious.
If there are developments, you'll know,
said Jolie.
Believe me.
Sounds ominous,
said Enjolras, with a wry smile. Jolie chuckled. Combeferre was studying in the library. Combeferre was always studying in the library, to the point where following Combeferre with was studying in the library had become more or less redundant. Jolie flung his satchel on the table.
Combeferre, I need to ask you something important.
Just once,
said Combeferre, carefully saving his place in his book. He was the only person Jolie knew who carried around bookmarks.
Just once. I want somebody to begin a conversation with, hello, or how's it going?
Why?
Said Jolie.
Novelty?
Said Combeferre. He tilted his head to the side.
How can I help you?
There was no way to bring it up without sounding like a gossipy teenager, so Jolie just went for it.
Is your best friend in love with my best friend?
Is Courfeyrac in love with Bossuet?
Jolie shook his head, impatient.
Bossuet is not my best friend. He's my soulmate and my tennis partner. And at some point in the future, we're going to open up a bakery together called Buns Upon a Time. I meant, is Enjolras in love with Grantaire?
How would I know?
Said Combeferre. Jolie boggled at him.
He's one of your best friends.
We don't talk about that kind of thing.
And you've never, say, discussed his mysterious medical condition?
Not really,
said Combeferre.
We have a strict no-shop-talk in the apartment policy.
Ah.
Jolie nodded sympathetically.
You didn't constantly want the latest news in tort reform?
Actually, it was his idea. He said he was tired of hearing about rare bladder disorders at the kitchen table.
So, like, every time the subject comes up, you're supposed to duck out into the hallway and shout it from there?
Jolie furrowed his brow.
Law students are so weird, man.
Preach,
said Barrel from the table behind them. Jolie and Combeferre nearly fell out of their chairs.
How did you even get in here?
Said Jolie. The med school library required key cards. Barrel smiled.
Camouflage. If you mess up your hair a little, carry a lot of books, and mutter distractedly, anyone will let you in.
Why did you get in here?
Said Combeferre, which was maybe the smarter question from the beginning.
I like the architecture better,
said Barrel. He produced a flask from his laptop case, took a sip, and smacked his lips.
Also, the relative lack of supervision.
Barrel's flask matched the pattern on his shirt. It showed a real commitment to that shirt, or to drinking, or possibly just to Paisley, Jolie couldn't tell. No matter what, he was impressed. Barrel passed the flask to Jolie, who threw back a healthy swallow of what turned out to be scotch.
What kind of friend doesn't know whether or not his friend is in love with my friend?
Jolie complained. Barrel made a considering noise.
He asked you how he would know, and he said he and Enjolras had never discussed it out loud. Point of fact, he never said he didn't know. You're a slippery one, Combeferre.
Thanks,
said Combeferre. He held out his hand for the flask, which Jolie surrendered with a regretful frown. Instead of confiscating it, though, Combeferre just took a long draw.
Do you know?
Said Jolie. Combeferre wiped his mouth and gave the flask back to Barrel.
Nobody can ever know anything with absolute certainty.
He knows,
said Barrel. Well, duh. Combeferre sighed.
I just don't see the point of getting involved. I mean, for one thing, I respect my friend's privacy. For another thing, have you ever even seen the slightest indication that Grantaire liked him back?
You're joking, right?
Said Jolie.
This is your famously dry wit at work?
Don't get me wrong. I like Grantaire and all. He's a good guy.
Said Combeferre.
But when he's around Enjolras, the only thing he does is antagonize him.
To hide his massive, obvious crush,
Jolie protested.
Have you ever actually talked to him about it?
Said Combeferre. Well, no, but there were plenty of things Jolie had never talked about. He didn't go around saying much about his earlobes, but he definitely still had them.
I'm just saying,
said Combeferre.
You don't have all of the data.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how dreamy would you describe Enjolras?
Said Jolie, tapping his pen on the paper. Grantaire twisted around on the couch.
You said we were going to do science,
he said accusingly.
You promised me science, Jolie. I wanted lab coats and machines with lights and buttons and bubbling beakers. Do you know how many bubbling beakers I'm counting right now?
Zero?
Jolie hazarded.
One,
said Grantaire, nodding towards his open bottle of beer.
But only because I am being very flexible.
I have a notebook,
said Jolie.
That's scientific.
Half your notebook is just scribbly drawings of pigeons,
Grantaire countered.
You read my science notebook?
You left it lying open in the living room. You know, your technique isn't half bad.
Enjolras,
said Jolie doggedly.
Your feelings, in regards to...
For science?
For science.
God.
Grantaire laughed hollowly.
In that case, just get the sad bastard jar out.
In the interest of clean data collection, we're doing jar amnesty for the day,
said Jolie. Grantaire shook his head.
Famous last words, man. And he's not even my type,
said Grantaire despairingly a few minutes later. Jolie stopped writing.
Seriously?
Grantaire winced from where he was sitting upside down on the couch.
Shit, does that sound racist? I didn't mean it like... It's not a race thing at all. I mean, he's beautiful, okay? I'm aware that he looks like an angel.
You know, he thinks the only reason people stare is the whole dark skin, blonde hair thing,
said Jolie. Strangers on the street sometimes stopped Enjolras to ask if he bleached his hair. If Courfeyrac or Barras was with him, these conversations tended to descend into violence, or at least profanity. If Jolie or Combeferre was with him, things tended to begin with a brief overview of the fascinating genetic features of people from the Solomon Islands, and then end with nuclear levels of snark. Grantaire made a dismissive gesture. He made it well. Nobody could make a dismissive gesture like Grantaire.
Yeah, but he's an idiot. That's well documented.
Jolie had a feeling he was supposed to protest, but he also had a spreadsheet full of said documentation on his laptop. He frowned.
But, like, generally speaking,
Grantaire continued,
the ones I go for are a little edgier, you know? My type is, like, people who give the impression they could beat me in a knife fight.
Jolie considered this. Grantaire didn't bring people back to the apartment much. Presumably, why don't we go fool around on my friend's couch was a hard deal to seal. But Jolie could distantly remember some of Grantaire's old girlfriends and boyfriends and gender-fluid significant others. And yes, there was a pattern there. Mostly a pattern that involved a lot of facial piercings. More than once, Jolie had found himself wanting to issue some kind of warning about strong magnets. Grantaire was still talking. Jolie scrambled to attention.
Seriously,
he was saying.
Unreal. Unreal in the most literal definition of the word. He looks like a stained glass window, which is generally not something that gets me going, you know? But he starts talking.
Grantaire sighed.
He opens his mouth and your hair stands on end. Your blood fizzles. It's the opposite of dreamy. It's awake on an impossible magnitude. The air crackles. You can feel the electricity in your bones.
Probably Jolie should have been taking notes. He hastily turned to a new page and wrote,
air really likes metaphors. A lot.
And then, underneath that,
may be sexually attracted to lightning?
Was there a word for that? There had to be, right? Something phallic. Jolie's Greek maybe wasn't as good as he thought. He frowned.
And okay, don't get me wrong,
said Grantaire.
I still think the way he talks about insurrection with no irony whatsoever is scary as hell. But he is so smart, and direct, and brave, and he just cares so much, you know?
He scrubbed his hand over his face.
Honestly, it's fucking amazing. And I'm angry at him for being so himself, and I'm angry at me for being somebody he could never even tolerate, and I'm angry at the universe for plunking us down within shouting distance of each other.
But you enjoy arguing with him,
said Jolie. Grantaire hid his eyes in the crook of his elbow.
I do,
he said.
I really, really do.
Jolie took a deep breath.
So,
he said, picking up his pen again.
Would you, say you like him?
Grantaire's response was 3 minutes of increasingly desperate laughter. Jolie patted his shoulder.
Hey, want to go mix some baking soda and vinegar? Pretty sure we can make a small explosion. I can't guarantee it's not a little dangerous, but...
Grantaire gasped and wiped his eyes.
You had me at explosion.
The texting continued. The texting, if anything, intensified. It got so bad that Jolie's brain started to take shortcuts, so that when his phone chimed at dinner, he could reach into his pocket and unlock the screen without even halting the motion of his fork, muttering reflexively,
Sorry, 1 second, it's Enjolras.
What?
Said Enjolras from the other side of the table. Right. Yes. They'd met up to grab some food and further discuss symptoms. It was highly unlikely that Enjolras was texting him under the table. Jolie looked down at his phone. It was from Bossuet, and the first 3 words were,
Don't. Panic.
And,
But.
Jolie put his fork down. Bossuet only told him not to panic when it was a situation that damn well merited some panicking. He closed his eyes, trying to stay calm, and read the text in its entirety.
Don't panic, but can you pick up some gauze on your way home? Not a big deal.
There was no point pressing Bossuet for information. Bossuet was going to pad the conversation out with pointless reassurances. Grantaire answered on the second ring.
Jolie, oh, thank God, I was just about to call you,
said Grantaire.
Your boyfriend came home with a slight head injury. He doesn't think it's anything to worry about, and as far as I can tell, he's not concussed, but there is a little blood.
Through the staticky phone line, he gave a delicate cough.
Or really a moderate amount of blood, and you might want to...
After that, Jolie didn't follow the sequence of events too closely for a while, but then he and Enjolras were on the train back to Jolie's apartment. 2 stops away, Jolie looked up from where he'd been twisting his hands.
Did we pay?
He said suddenly.
At the cafe?
We paid,
Enjolras assured him.
Really?
Said Jolie.
Because I have no memory at all of opening my wallet.
It's taken care of,
said Enjolras, who had probably taken advantage of Jolie's nerves to stealth pay for both of their meals. It sounded like the kind of thing he'd do. Jolie let it go. He didn't have the extra energy to be annoyed. There were 4 city blocks and a flight of stairs between the train stop and Jolie's apartment. He had never bridged that distance faster, not even on soup and board games night. By the time he successfully got his key into the lock, Bossuet had opened the door from the other side. He was pale and a little disheveled, but smiling a trace of fond smile and gloriously, blessedly upright.
Hey, Jolie,
said Bossuet quietly.
I've got gauze,
Jolie blurted out.
Ah, thank you,
said Bossuet, who, on closer inspection, was clutching a wad of paper towel to the side of his face. Jolie motioned him into the kitchen for better wound washing.
What happened?
He got mugged,
said Grantaire from where he was sitting on the kitchen counter.
In broad daylight. 2 times in the span of an hour. I cleaned the cut on his head with soap and stuff, but you might want to do it again. I don't know.
2?
Said Enjolras from the doorway. From the corner of his eye, Jolie saw Grantaire's posture stiffen, on the defensive.
No, see, it's actually a funny story,
said Bossuet as Jolie dug around for the first aid kit.
So, the first guy who mugged me, he had a knife and everything, and he took my phone and my wallet and my coat. So I'm standing there trying to decide if I should go home or walk down to the police station when I hear a voice go, Give me all your money. And I'm like, sorry, man, you should have hit me up 5 minutes ago. And he goes,
Empty out your pockets.
And I do, and his face just falls. Literally, all I could do was give him my Metro card and, no fooling, a couple of mints. Poor guy, man. He even let me keep my apple.
Jolie manhandled him to the sink.
The next part's gonna hurt a bit,
he warned.
Grantaire, can you distract him?
On it,
said Grantaire.
This way. Have you heard all of my knock-knock jokes?
Yes, Grantaire,
said Bossuet very patiently.
I have heard all 3 of your knock-knock jokes.
I'm going to report the muggings to the police,
said Enjolras, and the fact that he was voluntarily reaching out to an authority figure showed just how devoted he was to his friends.
Just don't say anything too harsh about the second guy,
said Bossuet.
I mean, I really did feel bad for him.
Enjolras paused with his phone halfway to his ear.
If the first mugger took all your money, how'd you even get an apple?
The first guy let me keep my apple, too.
Wait,
said Grantaire.
So both of the times you were mugged today, at no point did it occur to you to put the apple down?
The first guy had a knife, and the second guy had brass knuckles,
said Bossuet.
I was never a piece of fruit away from winning the encounter.
The word ended with a hiss as Jolie began to dab the cut with disinfectant.
You're being very brave,
said Jolie. Bossuet smiled crookedly.
If I'm good, do I get a lollipop?
This is more about your sex life than I ever wanted to know,
said Grantaire. Jolie and Bossuet must have fixed him with similar looks then, because he swallowed and muttered,
Christ, you really are the same person.
And then, a little louder,
No, I'm sorry. I was ruining a beautiful moment. I mean, the whole bandaging the wounded thing, it's actually kind of romantic.
From the corner of his eye, Jolie saw him kick his feet meditatively.
Oh man, think how cute it would be if this was the first time you'd ever met each other. Like if Jolie's first words to you were, I have gauze.
Well, actually,
said Bossuet, voice just slightly strained. He was seriously earning that lollipop.
I think if he didn't know me, his first words would have been like, what the hell are you doing in my apartment?
Wait, now I'm into it,
said Grantaire. He hopped off the counter, diverting Bossuet's gaze to the left. Jolie gave him a grateful smile. Bossuet kept trying to look up at his own cut, which besides being impossible was also wrinkling his forehead too much to bandage it.
Bossuet is a man on the run from his demons, from his tragic backstory. We'll figure that out later. Roaming the streets. Jolie is a man with gauze. Together, they can mend the gash on Bossuet's head, but can they mend the one in his heart?
He began to hum dramatic music. From the other side of the room, Enjolras covered the cell phone receiver.
Hey, Bossuet. Where were you when it happened?
Which time?
Said Bossuet. He rattled off two addresses. Jolie didn't know the area well, but he had the sense they were pretty close together. Grantaire sucked in a sympathetic breath.
The second time you were 3 blocks from a police station.
I know,
said Bossuet glumly. Then he deflated a little more.
Shit,
he said.
My birthday is the day after tomorrow.
You're going to feel fine by then,
said Jolie. He smoothed the bandage on Bossuet's smooth forehead. On the bright side, his baldness had made the whole process much easier.
We're going to have a party this weekend, and fun times will be had, do you hear me?
Bossuet put his head in his hands and started to laugh.
Happy birthday,
he mumbled.
Happy birthday,
said Grantaire. He patted Bossuet on the shoulder and began to quietly sing, to the tune of Joyeux Anniversaire.
Sorry someone mugged you, and then his friend did too. Shit, man, please don't cry. Would you like some cake or pie? Here's hoping some balloons will distract from your head wound. And when the week winds down, your friends will gather round to sing shit that looks painful. Shit, 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 shit.
Bossuet threw an arm around him in a half hug and then ruffled his hair for a bit.
That was beautiful,
said Bossuet.
It brought a tear to my eye. Now wait, that's the massive head trauma.
Sing it again,
said Jolie.
I think I can do a harmony.
So Grantaire sang it again, and Jolie pretty much managed to sing it a third higher. And then they did it again, and Bossuet added some bass notes. Then they did it again, and Jolie attempted to drop the bass, which went less well.
I think we need another person,
said Bossuet. Jolie looked around, but Enjolras had left the room, probably to better make the phone call.
Enjolras, get in here,
said Jolie.
We need your gorgeous tenor.
Good luck with that,
said Grantaire.
He hates shenanigans.
In truth, Enjolras mostly hated Grantaire's shenanigans, because he tended to assume they were at his expense, or at the expense of his beliefs, which wasn't a distinction worth making to him.
He might do it.
Bossuet looked thoughtful.
I mean, if I make puppy eyes and play the "there's a giant bleeding wound on my head" card.
Please, we'd be better off asking Evangeline, just saying. She may not have the throat muscles for it, but I guarantee you she'd be a better sport.
Grantaire's understanding of throat anatomy was very flawed, but he was in rant mode, so there didn't seem to be much point in imparting some tidbits about the wonders of the vocal folds.
I mean,
said Grantaire.
Unless the game you're playing is frown and walk away from me, in which case, yeah, Enjolras is your guy. Have fun with that.
It was a tricky situation, because on one hand, Joly ached to tell Grantaire to calm down and stop being such a dick. But on the other hand, the hurt in his voice was nakedly apparent. It wasn't a negativity jar tone. It was a please drink some water and take a nap before you do something you'll regret tone. Maybe Joly should have offered a hug, but it seemed like reinforcing the wrong kind of behavior, and habit loops were complicated. Bossuet very subtly elbowed Joly in the side. Being the more pragmatic of the two of them, and also the one who had watched more movies, only Bossuet had thought to check the doorframe and see if Enjolras was standing there listening. Jolie's eyes widened.
Air,
said Bossuet, not unkindly.
Please shut up.
Unfortunately, Grantaire was just picking up steam.
No,
he said.
I'm sorry, I know everyone in our little group thinks he can do no wrong, but why has fucking nobody called him on this? Adults don't pull that shit, okay? You don't get to peace out of a conversation mid-word anytime you feel like you're too good for it. What kind of holier-than-thou elitist asshole?
Clearly, action was required. Joly wasn't proud of what he did next, which was to clamp his hand over Grantaire's mouth and shout,
"Hey, Enjolras, how's it going?"
But Joly wasn't good in a crisis. Everyone knew that. There was a reason he decided not to become a paramedic. Said Enjolras, who was blinking very rapidly.
The police weren't really any help. Try to contain your surprise,
he said, a little too loud. He swallowed. Bossuet gave Grantaire a look, a please apologize look. Grantaire shook his head. Enjolras' eyes moved back and forth between them for a long moment.
Hey, Enjolras, want to see that spreadsheet?
Said Joly.
It's on my laptop in the bedroom. Let's go.
He grabbed Enjolras by the arm and tugged him out of the kitchen, humming a jaunty little tune as though he could deflate the tension if he just kept pouring cheerfulness on top of it. Yeah, nobody would accuse Joly of being a smooth operator. Enjolras marveled appropriately over the color-coding system and the notation Joly had devised, and the algorithm Joly had borrowed from Combeferre in exchange for checking out some books at the library. Combeferre had exceeded his limit for the month. Joly hadn't known there even was a limit, although possibly it was a special rule devised just for Combeferre, who was studying brain science but was also doing, like, six other mini-dissertations on the side, as a hobby. Then there was a lull, and Enjolras said quietly,
"You know, I would have done it."
Joly deleted an extra row of cells and looked up at him, frowning.
Would have done what?
Joined in,
said Enjolras.
The singing. If you'd needed me to.
He shrugged, a little jerkily. Shrugging just wasn't natural on him.
I mean, just... it looked fun, and...
He broke off with a frustrated sigh. Joly couldn't think of any way to console him without raising a lot more questions for him. So instead, he just gave a sympathetic half-smile and said,
"Chest pains again?"
Enjolras nodded.
"I'll log it,"
said Joly. He undid the deleted row and began to type. Enjolras was restless behind him. Joly craned around to see him scrutinizing the framed painting on the wall. It was a free-form design, smears and blobs of color blending into grays and browns in the middle.
Don't really get modern art,
said Enjolras, sounding a little embarrassed.
Musiketa's niece did it,
Joly explained.
She's 5. We all know it's hideous, just nobody's allowed to say it out loud.
Enjolras nodded.
Great kid, though,
said Joly belatedly.
Really smart.
It garnered another nod from Enjolras, a little more distant.
I should apologize,
he said.
Right? For what?
Enjolras frowned.
For not telling him about my, malaise? I didn't stop to think how that would look to an outside party.
The moment of truth was approaching. Jolie held his breath.
Yeah,
he said.
And you have experienced a lot of symptoms around Grand Terre, huh?
He leaned forward slightly, watching Enjolras' face for any sign of epiphany. He was a top law student, his brain an incredible machine. Surely, any moment he would piece it together. Enjolras bit his lip.
Oh, no,
he said.
Do you think he thinks I'm mad at him or something?
Julie's urge to smack his own forehead was an actual physical need. He glanced down at his palm, so tantalizingly close to his face. Maybe, if he moved quickly, he could slip in a discreet face palm before Enjolras noticed.
Julie?
Said Enjolras. Julie sighed. It was not to be.
I should apologize, right? Explain about, you know, my condition?
Given that Grantaire was still almost certainly convinced that said condition was nothing more than Enjolras hating his guts, it didn't seem like the best idea.
I would give him some space, maybe,
said Jolie. How long could he keep Enjolras away from the rest of the apartment? He fumbled for some way to sweeten the deal.
I think I've got some board games in here somewhere.
The door swung open, Grantaire looking a little shell-shocked on the other side. He had the face of a man who had just undergone an extensive, please apologize speech from Bossuet. People tended to forget that Bossuet had half a law degree, and occasionally, when the situation really called for it, knew his way around an argument. Said Grantaire. Said Enjolras. Said Jolie. Due to sheer peer pressure.
I was just looking for you,
said Enjolras, a little nonsensically since he hadn't made any steps to leave the room, and Grantaire clearly hadn't been hiding behind the curtains or under the bed or anything. Grantaire blinked at him, clearly beyond processing this kind of information. Enjolras cleared his throat.
I wanted to say sorry,
he started.
I should have let you know up front, but I'm going through some health stuff right now, and...
Health stuff?
Said Grantaire flatly. The spreadsheet was still open on Jolie's computer, and Enjolras nodded toward it.
I have some kind of flu or something. Jolie's trying to help me, but it occurs to me that I've left in the middle of talking to you more than once, and I can't imagine it bothers you that much, because I know we don't take the same thing seriously... But I actually...
Enjolras glanced down at his feet, then looked resolutely back up.
I've really enjoyed our conversations lately. Most of them.
He added with ruthless honesty.
I'm not crazy about that time you trolled me on tax reform, but, larger point. Don't take it personally, okay? You shouldn't. You really, really shouldn't.
Grantaire's eyes were huge. Cartoon character huge.
Wow,
said Grantaire.
I was gonna do like a shitty non-apology because Bossuet made me, but now that's starting to feel kind of not great.
He laughed quietly, scratching the back of his head. The motion tugged up at the hem of his shirt enough to show a narrow band of tattoo, and Jolie resolutely didn't make eye contact with Enjolras, resolutely pretended not to hear the stifled squeak to his left, resolutely resigned himself to having to log this moment as well.
I was being a jackass,
Grantaire said.
Not such an unusual event, but God, don't ever take anything I say to heart, like, ever. I'm not objective. And you're not elitist or any of that. You're actually pretty great,
he added, voice trailing off into a mumble. He turned for the door, then swiveled around.
I just realized I told you to ignore everything I say and then told you you're great, but, imagine I did that in reverse order. Yeah.
And with that, Grantaire fled the room. There was a pause. Enjolras had an expression of intense concentration, of taking stock within himself.
"How's the chest pains?"
said Jolie.
"Better,"
said Enjolras carefully.
"But also worse, but in a better way, but worse."
He glanced over at the spreadsheet, hopeful. Jolie gave into temptation and let himself bury his face in his hands. There was no algorithm in the world for this.
"Kidney failure,"
said Enjolras later on the phone.
"It's not kidney failure,"
said Jolie.
"I looked it up.
I really, really don't think it's kidney failure,"
Jolie insisted.
"Trust me, okay? I'm a doctor."
"You're a med student. I'm telling you, I looked it up."
"Confère,"
said Jolie briskly, dumping his books on the library table.
"I need your help with something."
Confère looked up from where he'd been quietly studying.
"Hello, Confère. How are you?"
he deadpanned.
"Well, Jolie, I'm very busy at the moment. But beyond that, I suppose I can't complain. Oh dear, if this is a bad time, maybe I should come back later. I would hate to interfere." "That's quite all right, Jolie, but thank you for checking first. Very considerate."
Jolie rocked back on his heels.
"Are you done yet?"
5 more minutes,"
said Confère, an amused tick at one corner of his mouth.
"You know how much I enjoy our little chats."
"You are so weird,"
said Jolie. Confère pushed his notebook aside and looked up expectantly.
"How can I help you?"
"Right,"
said Jolie.
"I need you to hack WebMD."
Yes. Well, that's very interesting,"
said Confère.
"Are you aware I am not a hacker?"
"I thought about that,"
Jolie acknowledged.
"Then I realized that's exactly what a hacker would say."
He lowered his voice conspiratorially.
"Look, man, I know you know code."
"I took one class on CSS."
Confère seemed to say this less to Jolie and more to the room at large.
"Hacking is a very specialized skill set."
Jolie shook his head.
"I'm not asking for anything fancy. Just, you know, access to the server. Maybe poke around in the mainframe a bit and bring the system down."
"My friend, sometimes I get the feeling that all of your knowledge of computers comes from cyberpunk movies of the mid-90s.
Jolie tapped the side of his nose.
"And watch out for those strings of floating glowing numbers,"
he said. Confère sighed.
"When was the last time you got a full night's sleep?"
"I'm a med student,"
said Jolie, rubbing his eyes.
"Sleep is surrender. Coffee is strength."
"Work is freedom,"
said Confère dryly.
"Right,"
Jolie nodded.
"Sometimes I forget you're a med student too."
"Maybe, because I can still manage the occasional REM cycle and avoid going around with my pants on backwards."
Jolie's eyes widened. He glanced down, but no, there was his fly, right where it was supposed to be. Relief coursed through him.
"I hate you,"
he said.
"You had to check,"
said Confère damningly. Jolie answered the phone on the fourth ring.
"Enjolras,"
he said a little breathlessly.
"What is your medical emergency?"
Behind him on the bed, Bossuet giggled. It was not in response to anything Jolie had said. Musichetta was mouthing at the ticklish spot at the right side of Bossuet's hip.
"Nothing,"
said Enjolras.
"But it just occurred to me that the last 4 or 5 times we've spoken, mostly it's been about me and my problems, and I just wanted you to know that I really value you as a friend, not just a free source of medical advice."
Bossuet giggled again, and then gasped. Jolie frowned. There was, he knew, a twin ticklish spot on Bossuet's other hip. Jolie had discovered it himself, through extensive exploration. It was, by all rights, his. He gave it a longing look, and then reminded himself what a good friend Enjolras was, how upsetting this whole situation had to be from his point of view.
"Do you know what time it is?"
asked Jolie, carefully remaining in the rhetorical because he wasn't sure himself. "Late, though."
"Have you been drinking?"
"No,"
said Enjolras.
"I was just thinking about my friendships and how important they are to me."
The sad thing was, it was probably true. Enjolras did things like that sometimes. Once he sent Feuilly flowers. Daffodils. No reason. Just friendship flowers. Everyone at Feuilly's work had assumed it was a secret admirer situation, and Feuilly had been too embarrassed to correct them. Somehow, this had led to an incident where Courfeyrac briefly pretended to be Feuilly's boyfriend. It was a period of their lives Jolie hadn't been following too closely, weighed down with a truly shocking amount of lab work and a little out of it from new anxiety meds. But he knew that at some point it involved Courfeyrac diving pantsless out a window, Feuilly curled up in Cosette's lap as he convulsed with embarrassment, and Enjolras shouting through a closed door,
"Yellow flowers are a symbol of friendship. Everyone knows this. I looked it up."
The point being, there was no doubt in Jolie's mind that Enjolras had done the research. Enjolras put in his time. He was infamous among their friends for writing really, really long messages and birthday cards, to the point where it sometimes required several auxiliary cards. Courfeyrac had 1 year's birthday greeting framed in a triptych. It was something to see. The only exception was Grantaire, and that was really just because Enjolras had always tended to overthink it. The one time Enjolras managed to get a birthday message to him on time, it was because he'd managed to finish last year's card exactly a year late. Unfortunately, the beginning was so outdated it mentioned Grantaire's cat, and so Grantaire had only gotten half a sentence in before he looked up with red-rimmed eyes and said,
"Bowser died 4 months ago, but, thanks, I guess."
This was especially egregious because Jolie knew that Enjolras knew when the cat had died. He knew because Combeferre had texted him from a card shop, complaining that Enjolras was taking the time to scrutinize the full text of every single sympathy card, dissecting the word choice and critiquing the symbolism. Enjolras had left the shop empty-handed, none of its offerings passing muster, and Combeferre and Jolie had spent the afternoon quizzing each other via text message about various obscure venereal diseases. Jolie swiveled around so that he didn't get distracted by the things Musichetta and Bossuet were doing behind him, which were, well, distracting.
"Wow,"
said Jolie in a rush.
"That's very touching, and also it was good to hear from you."
"I mean it,"
Enjolras interrupted, with heartwarming and very frustrating sincerity.
"When I think about our generation and the world we're going to make, people like you are so important. I see the way you throw yourself into your studies, the way you tirelessly search for answers, and it just makes me so happy."
The mattress jostled. Musichetta let out a little sighing moan. She was ordinarily pretty quiet in bed, unless she was trying to make a point, so Jolie had an inkling that this was payback for something. He twisted around. Musichetta moaned again. It was definitely theatrical on her part, but it was still, he swallowed, pretty effective. Jolie threw her a despairing look. Musichetta pointed to his phone, then mimed a tear trailing down her face. Right. Their brand new no answering the phone on date night rule. It had been unanimous. Jolie sighed, rolled his eyes at Enjolras, who was still heaping on the praise, and with one last wistful look, turned away from the stage but very hot tableau happening behind him.
"Is the best tool we have for pursuing the truth right now,"
Enjolras was saying.
"And medicine even more so. I keep thinking about the progress people like you represent, and the progress that's about to come, and I'm so proud to know you, Jolie. I really am."
There was the sound of shifting blankets, and then warm breath on the nape of Jolie's neck, and then Musichetta was resting her chin on his shoulder and pressing her body against his back. Meanwhile, Bossuet lay somewhere to the side, dying of laughter. Jolie could both hear it and feel the vibrations. Bossuet often laughed during sex. Usually it was endearing, but as Musichetta carefully draped a bare leg across Jolie's lap, the usual mirth carried with it a whiff of betrayal. Musichetta's toes stroked the inside of his knee, and Jolie swallowed again. It was unfair, She knew how he felt about her feet. With one finger of his free hand, he traced the letters HAVEMERCY on her thigh. She huffed a laugh against his neck, tugged his chin until they were facing each other, and pantomimed hanging up a phone. With the death of landlines, the entire concept of hanging phones up was about to die, he realized. That was kind of interesting. Her toes began to lightly trace up the inseam of his pajama pants. Julie tried to swallow and failed.
Well, that's really great, Enjolras,
he blurted, at about twice the speed of normal conversation. Even to his own ears, he sounded like a cartoon chipmunk.
Listen, I'm so glad we had this moment, and I'm proud to know you too. Okay, bye!
He scrambled to end the call, turned off his phone, and, for good measure, threw it straight up in the air. The cell phone sailed in a high, clean arc, and then lodged itself in the light fixture hanging from the ceiling.
Wow,
said Bossuet.
Damn,
said Musichetta.
Let's all make a solemn vow to deal with that later,
said Jolie, peeling off his shirt. This time, Bossuet's laughter sounded a lot more pleasant to his ears.
Confrère, thank God you're here,
said Jolie, loud enough that the library page gave them a stern glare. He winced apologetically in her direction and lowered his voice.
I have a question for you.
Actually, I have a question for you too,
said Combeferre. Julie blinked, taken aback.
You first, I guess.
Do you think psychics are real?
Combeferre's face was very serious. Julie attempted a response, but nothing came to mind.
I was just reading an article on parapersonal space,
Combeferre continued,
and the brain's ability to create models for, in effect, sensing things outside of what's commonly considered, you know, bounds of the body, and given that different people have different sensitivities, it's starting to seem possible to me that maybe there are people out there who can essentially read minds.
Huh,
said Julie.
I don't know.
Combeferre nodded.
What was your question? Or, wait, how about you think your question at me as hard as you can, and then I'll try to think a response back at you.
Deal.
Julie squeezed his eyes shut, concentrating as hard as he could. After a minute or two, Combeferre said,
I think I might have gotten something, but I'm not sure.
Ooh,
said Jolie.
Was it, why does everyone always act like Combeferre is the normal one?
That's easy,
said Combeferre.
The power of contrasts.
There was a pause. Jolie shuffled his feet.
I'm starting to think psychic might not be a thing,
he confessed.
Well, 2 is a terrible sample size by any measure.
It was a fair point, thought Jolie, and one they really should have considered in the first place.
Was that your original question?
What? No, I was just...
If he was honest with himself, Jolie had no idea what his original question had been. But he could guess at the gist.
Dude, you need to help me get those 2 crazy kids together.
Nobody needs to do anything,
said Combeferre.
Please?
Said Jolie.
Look.
Combeferre rubbed his forehead and sighed.
Enjolras is... Well, you've probably worked that out on your own. And if you say Grantaire likes him back, I guess I'll take your word on that. But don't you think it would be better for their relationship if they worked this out themselves? It's not like they're under a time limit or anything.
Easy for you to say,
Jolie countered.
It's starting to affect my sex life.
How?
Said Combeferre. And then immediately...
Don't answer that.
Jolie grinned.
Can I think it at you?
Let's not. Just to be safe.
Whatever,
said Jolie.
I'm gonna go ask Jeanne for help.
Combeferre snorted, which was never a good sign.
Good luck with that.
No,
said Jeanne.
No. Nope, nope, nope. No, not even.
Come on,
said Jolie.
A whole wide, sprawling, glorious world of nope.
You're supposed to be a romantic,
Jolie wheedled.
Capital R romantic, dude.
Jeanne waved one hand in the air and used the other to take a deep puff from the battered hookah on the coffee table. The smoke dissipated slowly.
Byron, man. Keats. Castro Alves. Mary Shelley. You want to help our friends reanimate a corpse or hunt a castle, and we will get that shit done.
Otherwise, if it's meant to happen, it'll happen, you know?
You probably think you're being profound right now,
said Jolie.
Curse your devil's herb.
Want a turn? Said Barrel. Jeanne snickered.
You mean, do you want to take, like, 2 hits and then spend the rest of the evening telling us about how all you want in life is for your friends to be happy?
What?
Said Jolie.
It's what you do every single time you get really high,
said Jeanne.
Which is also every single time you smoke.
Jolie's eyes narrowed, and Jeanne added,
Hey, no judgment. It's adorable.
I am not,
said Jolie.
Give me that.
Jolie breathed out slowly.
It's like why I went into medicine in the first place,
he said. He looked up at Jeanne and Barrel, who smiled back at him. They had such beautiful smiles.
It's all part of the same impulse, you know? Well and healthy and safe. I just, more than anything, more than any fucking thing, I just want...
Your friends to be happy?
Barrel finished with a wide grin. Jolie stared at him.
Holy shit,
he said.
Someone called Comfer. Parapersonal space. We figured it out. Sample size of 3. We are geniuses.
Barrel was typing intently away on his phone.
Peripersonal,
said Jolie.
Spelled P-E-R-I.
I'm texting Grantaire,
Barrel announced.
Air? But he's not a scientist. He's a tattoo artist.
Although now that Jolie thought about it, a psychic tattoo artist would be kind of amazing. So would psychic tattoos. So would bread with cheese melted on it. Nestled in Jeanne's hideous but extremely comfortable couch, he allowed himself to meditate on all of this. He didn't feel high, just relaxed and expansive, fully awake to the possibilities of the universe.
Do you have any cheese?
Said Jolie. Then he took a nap. The day of Bossuet's birthday party, Grantaire wore a white t-shirt, thin enough that the lines of the tattoo on the center of his back were ghostly but visible against his spine. Jolie felt a dire foreboding. But Enjolras was on what seemed like maybe pointedly good behavior, managing to at least choke out a...
Hello.
And a...
Goodbye.
Before fleeing to the other side of the kitchen and all but leaping into Feuilly's arms, sinking right into Feuilly and Eponine's fervent discussion of intersectionality. Grantaire, in turn, tried very hard not to look disgruntled. He perked up a little when Jolie tasked him with making birthday omelets. Musichetta mixed the drinks, and Jolie ran out to pick up the cake from that slightly pretentious new bakery they'd been meaning to try. This was, they'd learned through several failed party iterations, the ideal division of labor. When Jolie returned, weighed down with several pounds of chocolate and fondant, Enjolras was nowhere to be seen. He frowned, but he couldn't check his phone without putting the cake at risk.
Hey,
said Grantaire, sidling up to him.
Can we make it so that if I pass up a golden opportunity to say negative shit, somebody else has to put money in the sad bastard jar?
I mean, that's kind of a house decision. I don't know,
said Jolie.
What's up?
Grantaire shook his head.
You know, I'd honestly started to think that I was just being paranoid,
he said.
And that maybe he had, I don't know, lupus or Lyme disease or the Spanish flu. But I swear to God, he made a joke. A deliberate, on-purpose joke. I laughed, and he fucking booked it. Cause... effect.
He sighed, bleakly.
Huh,
said Jolie.
That's well... Hey, can you hold this cake for me?
Grantaire lifted the box from his hands and deposited it safely on the counter. Jolie grabbed his phone and unlocked the screen. He had 6 missed texts. Well... He scrolled through them. In order...
Slight difficulty breathing. Combined with chest pains. Also, the faced focus fever symptoms like I mentioned before. Unrelated. But has Eris' laugh always sounded like that? Elevated heart rate, too.
The most recent said simply,
Please advise.
Can you give me a moment?
Said Jolie. He glanced around the apartment. A familiar blonde head remained notably absent. Jolie rolled his eyes.
Angel Cross,
he typed.
Your friendship is very dear to me, and I respect you to the utmost degree. But be straight with me. Are you hiding in my bathroom right now?
His phone chimed immediately.
No.
And again.
Thank God you're here.
And again.
I have no idea what is happening, and you have to help me.
Julie allowed himself a deep moment of soul-searching. Did he have the patience for this? Enjolras was evidently missing Bossuet's party in favor of shivering on the fire escape and sending panicky texts about a problem that wasn't even really a problem. Julie was likely going to miss Bavel's hilarious story again, and he had nearly been cock-blocked via telephone. He had nearly lost his cell phone to his bedroom ceiling. Enough was enough. He took a deep breath, stretched out his typing thumbs for a second, and got to work.
Listen, friend, you are smart enough to figure this out. Go scroll back up and look at your unrelated side note. Think about it real hard in conjunction with everything else you wrote. I'll give you a hint. Your kidneys are fine. P.S. If you are still confused, I advise you to also think real hard about Air's tattoos.
There was no response for what was, in this context, a distressingly long time. Then...
Oh my God.
And then nothing.
Okay,
said Jolie, out loud. He figured he would give Enjolras half an hour to process things out on the fire escape, and then Jolie would somehow drag him back to the party, even if it meant calling the fire department or the Air Force. The omelets were great, and Musichetta mixed a fine drink. Cosette recommended some new bands, and Marius was very amused by Jeanne's impression of how Jolie had behaved after three turns with the hookah, which had to be an exaggeration. Jolie was pretty sure.
Should we cut into this gorgeous cake?
Said Musichetta.
I feel like we should wait for Enjolras,
said Courfeyrac. He glanced around.
Hey, where is Enjolras anyway?
Thought he was in the bathroom,
said Jeanne. Eponine shook her head.
I'd assumed he maybe stepped out for some air, but I just had a smoke on the fire escape and he wasn't there either.
Grantaire, the picture of nonchalance, poured himself a glass's worth of wine. Unfortunately, he wasn't looking at his hands or the glass, so he poured it directly onto the kitchen counter.
Shit,
he said, mopping up what he could with napkins.
Don't worry about it,
said Jolie. He scooped up the napkins and dumped the sodden purple wad into the trash.
Can you grab some towels from the linen closet?
Nodding, Grantaire disappeared in the direction of the hallway. Then he didn't reappear.
Is there a wormhole in your apartment?
Asked Eponine in a low voice a few minutes later.
No idea,
said Jolie. He had just convinced Bavel to tell the hilarious story again, one more time, for old time's sake, when he remembered that nobody had ever finished cleaning up the wine spill. Jolie was not a neat freak by any measure, but the kitchen counter was white and he wanted to get his deposit back.
Can you excuse me for a second?
He wove through the little clusters of his friends, down the hallway, and stopped in front of the linen closet. There was what sounded like a light scuffling from the other side of the door. If they had mice, they were definitely not getting the deposit back. He took a deep breath and whisked open the door. Enjolras and Grantaire were making out passionately against a shelf full of pillowcases. Jolie very quietly cleared his throat. They didn't hear him. Grantaire's shirt was balled at their feet, and they were clutching at each other and making noises and kissing like it was going out of style. Like they were going to bring it back into style through sheer enthusiasm. Jolie rocked back onto the balls of his feet.
Can one of you hand me a towel?
He said. Enjolras and Grantaire gave a violent start. They wrenched apart, or as far apart as they could, given what a small closet it was.
I wasn't...
Grantaire stammered, staring at Jolie with wide eyes.
We weren't...
Kind of a hard sell,
said Jolie, trying not to giggle.
But it'd be a little more believable if your hand wasn't still, you know, on his butt.
Grantaire removed the hand in question and placed it on his face instead, which was going very red, although not red enough to camouflage the brand new marks on his neck. Enjolras sent Jolie a look that redefined murderous. Jolie made a very reasonable sound that in no way resembled a terrified squeak. Jolie held up his hands, appealing.
Hey, no, sorry, didn't mean to get in the way,
he told Enjolras.
Who am I to come between a man and his,
Jolie froze. Why, oh why, had he structured his sentence that way? He'd committed himself to a noun. Now, this was the worst thing to ever happen.
Boyfriend,
said Enjolras firmly. Jolie gave him an impressed look. Had Enjolras seriously managed to sort out all of his relationship problems in one go from the inside of a linen closet? Grantaire peeked out from behind his fingers.
Who?
Ah, maybe not so much. Still, someone had to be the adult in this situation.
He means you,
said Jolie helpfully.
I mean, unless there's someone else in there.
The look of total shock Grantaire gave him was not exactly surprising, but Jolie couldn't help scolding a little.
Oh my god, Enjolras, did you talk to him about this at all, or did you literally just drag him in there when he opened the door and start kissing him?
Don't be ridiculous,
said Enjolras, bristling, which was in no way a no.
Are you even going to ask him out?
Enjolras rolled his eyes.
Obviously. Don't you think it's kind of implied?
It isn't,
said Grantaire, staring at him.
Oh.
Enjolras deflated a little. He hid his face against Grantaire's bicep for a second, as if gathering his thoughts. Then he pulled himself upright. His hands were still on Grantaire's shoulders. He had never moved them.
Do you want to go out with me sometime?
Yet,
said Grantaire. Enjolras grinned at him, shy and delighted, as if Grantaire had just performed a magic trick.
So can we agree you don't have kidney failure?
Said Jolie. Enjolras shut the door in his face. Jolie took 3 steps, then pivoted back.
Hey guys, a towel?
The closet door opened a crack, and 2 towels came flying out. Jolie caught one with his right hand and the other on his left foot. He glanced around, but all the other guests were in the kitchen or the living room. Nobody would ever know what a cool move he'd just pulled off. Still, Jolie knew, he thought as he rejoined the party. And that counted for something. Epilogue.
They've been in there for an awfully long time,
said Jolie. Enjolras and Grantaire had missed both the singing of Joyeux Anniversaire and the divvying of the cake. Bossuet didn't mind, and Jolie had assured their friends that Enjolras and Grantaire wouldn't be offended. Still, this was getting concerning.
It's fine,
said Musichetta in a reassuring undertone.
But are you sure, though?
Said Jolie.
Are they being safe, you know? Grantaire's such a pessimist. There's no way he carries around protection. And Enjolras is... Enjolras.
They're rational adults,
Bossuet insisted. And Jolie gave that contribution the side-eye it deserved.
Look,
said Musichetta.
If nothing else, there's just not enough room spatially for them to have unprotected sex in our linen closet.
But they're both so smart,
said Jolie darkly.
And they both have such terrible judgment.
In a way that breaks the rules of physics, though?
Musichetta had a point, but that jangling anxiousness remained, whispering to Jolie of the grisly accidents that could befall his friends, asking him if it didn't make more sense to get up and slip a few condoms under the linen closet door, just in case.
Would it help if I sat on your feet so you can't go do whatever it is you don't want to do?
Bossuet offered.
We could each take a foot,
said Musichetta. Jolie really did have the world's greatest significant others. His phone chimed with a new text. He stared down at it with horror.
Do you want one of us to read it?
Said Musichetta slowly. Jolie shook his head. With shaky fingers, he unlocked the screen. The text was indeed from Enjolras. It was a 2-word message. Jolie let out a sigh of relief. Neither word had anything to do with kidneys or fevers or heart palpitations or cancer. Instead, it said simply,
thank you.
Jolie smiled.
The end. Ah. Sorry, someone mugged you, and then his friend too.
Shit man, please don't cry. Would you like some cake or pie? Here's hoping some balloons will distract from your head wound. And when the week winds down, your friends will gather round.
Actually, it was his idea. He said he was tired of hearing about rare bladder disorders at the kitchen table.
I'm imagining all the girls saying that. It's
just right. All right. As algebra class, will you go ahead and say that so we can all imagine that?
Confrère, I'm just a little tired of hearing about rare bladder disorders at the table.
Why?
Actual
life. Not get through it.
I'm so glad that we've shown another dimension of podcast recordings.
Singing and there's no one there. I smell blossoms and the trees are bare. All day long I seem to walk on air. I wonder why. I wonder why. Tossing in my sleep at night, and what's more, I've lost my appetite. Stars that used to twinkle in the skies are twinkling in my eyes. I wonder.
It's not so surprising that you feel very strange, but nice. Your heart goes pitter-patter. I know just what's the matter, because I've been there once or twice. Put your head on my shoulder, or you need someone who's older. I'm down with a velvet glove. There's nothing you can take to relieve this pleasant ache. You're not sick, you're just in love.
Once or twice.
Put your head on my shoulder. Meet someone who's older.